We'll be looking at Genesis 18 today. This passage reveals three sides of the life of this man, Abraham. In this passage, he is visited personally by the Lord. In verse 1 it says, "And the Lord appeared unto him." The Lord appeared unto him, Abraham. That word Lord there is the word Jehovah. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham. The Lord Jehovah appeared unto Abraham. He's visited personally by the Lord. During this visit, we're given a glimpse at three sides of this man's life. As Abraham is revealed to us here, we see some characteristics in his life that need to be seen in the life of every child of God. For a few minutes, I want to look into this personal encounter between the Lord and Abraham. The identity of Abraham's visitors, when I look at it, was known as a Christophany, that the Lord here is actually the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The other two were angels. It seems that Abraham recognized the heavenly origin of his guests because he sprang into action to serve them when they appeared. That reaction sets a good example for us because you never know when the Lord will show up at your place. And when he does, he's looking for the same servant heart that he found in Abraham. Abraham springs into action speedily to supply every need of his heavenly visitors. He may be 100 years old, but there is not hesitation as he flies from one task to the next until all is completed. We see in verses 1 through 8 that he says, "Let me get a little water for you. I pray. Wash your feet. Rest yourselves. I'll fetch a morsel of bread. Comfort ye your hearts." And Abraham hastened on to the tent of Sarah. Abraham ran onto the herd, fetched the calf, tender and good, hastened to dress it. He took butter, milk, the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Here's a man who recognized his duty and set about to do it as quickly as possible. May I just remind you that the Lord deserves the best service that we can give him. When we're serving him, regardless of how menial the task, we should do our best to recognize who we are serving, and we should seek to do the best possible job that we can. And we should do it for the glory of God. Ephesians 6, verse 6. "Not with eye service, as men pleases, but as the servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart." From the heart. That is to be our disposition. "Not pleasing men, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." That is what believers are called to do in the New Testament. Servants of Christ. The servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Not an outward show to impress men and women or to move ahead, quote unquote, in the ministry or to get known or anything like that. Simply from the heart as a servant of Christ. Colossians 3, verse 23 tells us this: "And whatever you do, do it heartily." Once again, notice heartily, as to the Lord and not onto men. Don't do what you do for the applause, for the fame, for the glory of yourself. But whatever you do it onto the Lord. Heartily. Once again, heartily. Not only was Abraham swift in his service to the Lord, but he was also sacrificial in his service to the Lord. He went to his flock and personally selected, killed, and prepared a calf for their meal. You haven't really become a servant until your servants cost you something personally. Being willing to sacrifice for the Lord is a sign that you are possessed of a servant's heart. Whether the service is time or talents, it is willingly rendered at the request of the master and for his glory. The scripture tells us that the greatest sacrifice that we can offer is ourselves. Paul tells us in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, notice, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not the calf that was offered, the body. He wants our body, not the animal sacrifice. He wants your body, a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service as we just read, a servant of Christ. A servant of Christ. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice the word living. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How are you to renew your mind? By studying the word, meditating on the word, chewing the word over and over and over, get it down into your soul. The renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The servant of Christ renews his mind. Are you renewing your mind today? I know one thing, if you're listening to this message, you're renewing your mind to some degree. But that's part of it. You read the scripture. You hear the scripture being preached. Now, meditate upon these truths that you're hearing. That is a sacrifice. Giving your body a living sacrifice. That is a sacrifice that no one else can give to him but you. By the way, when he has you, he has everything that you have anyway. He owns all things. You've been redeemed with the price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus Christ now. You are a servant of Christ. You are united to Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things have become new. While his visitors were eating their meal, Abraham stood quietly by to serve them in any way that they might need. He simply stood beside them, adopting the pose of a servant, listening for the voice of the Lord. Open up your Bible, and you shall hear the voice of the Lord. Imagine the reaction of Abraham's servants as they watched him assume the role of a servant to the Lord. What a powerful testimony it was to them. Let me remind you that others are watching. Others are watching. Those around you are seeing if your words line up to what you're proclaiming. Make sure your service and your testimony are all that they should be. Real servants of God are those individuals who make themselves ever available to the Lord and his work. They're ready and they're willing to serve him on a moment's notice. When there are no orders to follow, they continue to do the last thing that he told them to do until new orders come. New orders arrive. They are his, and they have no will of their own, but they are lost in his will for their lives. That is a servant's heart. That is the heart of somebody that has given their bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. I just read in Romans 12, verse 2, that you would be able to prove what that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is a servant's heart. God also rewards the faithful service that is rendered to him. In Abraham's case, he does this by reassuring Abraham regarding the birth of Isaac. Go back to Genesis 18, verses 18 and 19. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. Wow, what a thing for the Lord to say. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Those verses tell us of the great affection, knowledge, and care that God possessed for this man, Abraham. God knew what caliber of man Abraham was. He knew that Abraham would stand the test and be all that God wanted him to be. He's clearly pictured as a child of God. He knew Abraham would stand the test and be all that God wanted him to do. And that is true of the servants of Christ. For he that has begun a good work in you will finish it. He will bring it to completion. The Lord has regenerated you, made you a new creature. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell inside you. The Spirit of Christ is inside of you. And God knows that he will fulfill all that he has decreed for you. And you have to simply believe and obey him. You believe him, and you say you believe him. Those that believe him, they obey him. They follow him. God has given this promise repeatedly, the promise of a child. He's given the promise to him repeatedly. The last time, in Genesis 17:17, Abraham had laughed for joy when he heard again the glorious promise of hope from the Lord. This time, the promise is repeated for the benefit of Sarah. All she had heard was secondhand promises from Abraham. This time, she hears the promise directly from the mouth of God. Her reaction, though, is vastly different from that of a husband. He laughed for joy, but yet she laughs from doubt. She's confronted and rebuked. She is confronted and rebuked. Look at verses 14 and 15 of our text. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah, notice, see why she had laughed. She laughed. She doubted. Abraham believed, and he had joy. Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. Why? For she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh. See, she denied, she laughed because she was afraid. This episode is a reminder that God knows everything there is to know about you and me. He knows our motives. He knows our secret sins and all things that we do. We must remember, brothers and sisters, that nothing is hidden from his eyes. Hebrews 4:13 tells us, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That is an attribute of God that the pagan, that the unbeliever absolutely hates. That God knows everything about them. And when you realize that, there's two things that you do. You will either run to him, or you will run away from him, even as Adam and Eve did when they hid themselves. They sinned, they hid themselves. As I said, when you realize everything, every word, thought, and deed that ever crossed your mind, always, ever, every word that you said or thought or didn't say, everything about you, all things, are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What a word. What a word for us. God knows all things. This is a precious point. And we go back to our text. This is a precious point in Abraham's relationship with the Lord. Because of who he is, how he has conducted himself, and the future that he is to enjoy, God is determined to share his heart with Abraham. Imagine being in a position of closeness to the Lord that motivated God to share his heart with you. And once again, just open up the scripture and you can see the heart of God. No doubt, this is among the passages that prompted the Jews to refer to Abraham as the friend of God. This passage before us, it would have prompted the Jews of old to refer to him as the friend of God. We see in James 2, verse 23. Turn over there. James 2. Verse 23. What a thing to be said. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And brothers and sisters, if you believe God, and the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to him, do you know that you're the friend of God? That's a hard concept to believe. That's a hard truth to believe. When we look at our life, we look at the sin, we look at the shortcomings, we look at the doubt, we look and go on and on and on and on and on. We need to remember that no matter what we've done, no matter how far that we have fallen, how many times that we have ran away from him. If you are a child of God, if you have the imputed righteousness of Christ in your account with him, then you, brothers and sisters, are called the friend of God. God wants to have that same kind of relationship with each and every one of us today, the friend of God. When we're in a position of closeness to him, he will share his heart and his will with us. Never feel that this kind of relationship is only for, quote-unquote, the super saints. I will remind you of the great truth that as we seek to get closer to the Lord, he responds by moving closer to us. Look at James 4, verse 8. Here's a command, an apostolic command. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If there's a distance between you and God, it's because you are the one that are causing that. God, if you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Be not double-minded. Don't be double-minded. Draw near to God, and he will draw nigh to you. A friend of God draws near to the God that calls him his friend. What a beautiful motive for service. What a beautiful motive to press on. The friend of God, the servant of Christ, the one that has been redeemed with a price. The message that the Lord has shared with Abraham was a difficult message to hear. It had been revealed to him that his kinsmen, Lot and his family, were in danger of death and destruction. Notice in our text, the cry of that place, speaking of Sodom now. The cry of that place and their grievous sin was the reason for the coming destruction. You find that in verses 22 to 33. The cry that had gone up. And the men were, let's go back to our text, Genesis 18, and the 18:16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. The cry. The cry of that place was their grievous sin for the reason for the coming destruction. To many, Sodom must have been viewed as a show place and a success story. They probably bragged about how it had been rebuilt after the great war that was spoken of in Genesis 14. Abraham knew different. He knew that the city was slated for destruction. Those of us who know the Bible know that our world thinks awfully highly of itself. However, it too is slated for destruction. May we learn to pray like Abraham. Abraham did, so that we can see our world saved. Pray as Abraham prayed to the Lord. If there be, Lord, if there be 50 righteous, if only there would be. He received the message, and it motivated him to action before the Lord. He knew what the Lord was going to do, and he got to praying. Perhaps this was a fact in God's desire to share the message with Abraham. Perhaps he wanted to motivate Abraham to move deeper in his relationship with God. May he motivate us to move closer in our relationship as a friend of God. We move in a deeper relationship with God, realizing that this world is headed for destruction. This world is headed for the wrath of God. Those that you know, family members, co-workers, neighbors, those around us, we know that the wrath of God is being poured out. And even as it moved Abraham to pray, and it should cause us to pray that the Lord would have mercy. We have seen Abraham the servant. We have seen Abraham the friend of God. Now we're given a chance to see Abraham speaking with his heavenly Father. Look at verses 22 and 23. And the men turned their faces from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham, notice, drew near. He drew near to the Lord. Drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Abraham stood before the Lord, and when the angels departed, he drew near to the Lord. I praise the Lord for the truth that God's children can approach Him and draw as near as they please to the Heavenly Father. Listen to His invitation in Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you burdened, brother and sister? Are you heavy laden? The Lord says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Do you need rest today? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What promises the Lord tells us also in Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet, without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a promise from the Lord. What a promise. Draw near, brother and sister. Abraham's prayer to the Lord arises out of several burdens that he's carried because of the revelation that he has just received. First, he's concerned about God's reputation. If the Lord simply destroys the people of Sodom out of hand, Abraham is concerned with that people will get the wrong impression of God and of his love for the lost. Secondly, he's thinking about Lot and his family who live in Sodom. He wants to see them spared, at the very least, at least his family members. Lord, at least my family members, even though the world is perishing around me. Lord, please, is that not the cry of the child of God, the friend of God, those who know the Lord? Lord, at least save my family members. He wants to see them spared. So he begins to talk to God about the situation and God, and he gets God to agree to spare the city. He starts at 50 and goes down to if 10 righteous people can be found there. And Lot's family, there was Lot, his wife, two unmarried daughters, and a few others. Although Abraham did not know it at the time, his prayer was answered. God did spare the righteous when he destroyed the wicked. When the morning came and Abraham looked towards Sodom and saw the smoke of that place, he must have been discouraged. However, his prayer had been heard and it had been successful. Look at Genesis 19. Look at verse 29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham. Remember? God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, which he had overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. God did answer his prayer. He did save some. God hears our prayers, brothers and sisters, and God will bless our prayers. Sometimes our prayers seem to be very ineffective and weak, but only in eternity will we know the full impact of our personal ministry of prayer in the lives of others. Pray on. Some have prayed 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and I've never seen that prayer answered. But yet, you never know. You never know what our sovereign God is doing behind the scenes. We're not to be discouraged. We're to just pray and trust the Lord to bring it to pass. Is anything that you need to take away from this message today? Is there anything? Could be this. A close personal relationship with God is possible for anyone who desires it. You remember in the beginning how I read about from the heart, your service from the heart. Brothers and sisters, true Christianity is about a heart relationship with God, brought about by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ makes that possible, that we can serve Him heartily. Heartily. Let me close with the verse that I quoted earlier from Ephesians 6, verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. From the heart. No interior motive, except you love the Lord. Those who love me obey my commands. Those who love me with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to the men. Whatever you do, brothers and sisters, do it as unto the Lord. Not to men, looking for the applause and approval by men, but as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Abraham did it as unto the Lord.